Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. Again, that's Proverbs chapter 8, 1 through 4, and then 22 through 31. Now, it's different. I almost never preach on the Proverbs, so you get a treat. I'm actually doing that. As you hear this, though, I want you to think, who does this remind you of? What does this sound like as the writer of Proverbs, or this particular proverb, speaks about wisdom? So here's the word of God. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, there I was beside him, like a master worker. And I was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I ask you, who does this sound like? Jesus sounds like the Holy Spirit a little bit, right? This is funny. This is the Old Testament, right? Or Hebrew Bible, right? So we know this is before Christ, but and before the revelation of what the Holy Spirit was, right? But I read this and I can't help but think, this sounds an awful lot like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Sounds an awful lot like the Holy Spirit, other than that part about being created by God. Okay, right? Or at least we're not supposed to, as Christians, believe that God created the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part, right? This is Trinity Sunday, so I have to make sure I don't mess up the Trinity, okay? So, not created, okay? Co-eternal, of one nature, all that good stuff, okay? So, that way nobody from the school yells at me. But other than that, it sounds an awful lot like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Crying out to the people, trying to get their attention. And then this idea of the wisdom being there ages ago at the foundations of the earth, as God took God's finger and just drew the circle and said, this is where the earth is, right? Let me set the foundations for the sky and set it in place. Wisdom is there, right? Now, I know that this person writing this proverb probably wasn't thinking of the Holy Spirit as we think of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say that this is a lot like the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm going to make this my fan fiction here, that this is about the Holy Spirit, because I think this is how the Holy Spirit lived at the moment of creation, that the Holy Spirit swept over the waters with God, right? Over the nothingness and the blackness and the inkiness, and rejoiced as God said, "Let there be light." And saw that it was good, and rejoiced as God set the foundations and said, here's where the water goes and here's where the land goes, and sculpted the mountains and all this amazing stuff. I enjoy watching, now Harper, I'm going to use you in the sermon, but not in an embarrassing way. I enjoy watching her play at the beach. Why is it so fun to watch a child play at the beach? Because they're creating, right? They're taking this stuff, this is sand, it's little bitty pieces of shell and whatnot, and they make it into all kinds of things. It can be castles, it can be animals, it can be words, it's whatever comes out of their imagination. And I imagine the Holy Spirit being there, watching God create all of this, being a part of that creation and rejoicing in what God is doing. How cool is that? To think the Holy Spirit, there at the beginning, watching as everything is established, marking out the foundations like a master worker, being God's daily delight and rejoicing before God always, delighting in the human race. Now, I've told you before that I'm a bit of a geek, well, a lot of a geek. And so there's a TV show that I really like, and it's called Futurama. So it's by the same people that do The Simpsons, okay? And it's kind of a like a silly take on science fiction stuff, okay? There's a character on it, and her name is Leela. Now, Leela looks perfectly normal, at least for a Simpsons-type character, other than the fact that she only has one eye, one really big eye, okay? And so for most of the series, people think she's an alien, but she doesn't know where she came from and all this kind of stuff. She just knows that she was kind of found by some people, and she lived at an orphanage growing up. And there's an episode, it's one of my favorites of the show, where what she discovers is, or we discover as the audience, she's looking for her birth parents and she can't find them. She assumes they're aliens and something awful happened to them, right? And she's so sad that she never got to meet them. But what we discover on the episode is that her parents are actually, now this is silly, okay, they were like sewer mutants. So there's this whole like level of, in future new New York, right? The city is built on top of the old New York, which is our New York, okay? And down there is where all the sewer mutant people live because there's so much pollution from the past and this, that, and the other. And they live down there, and they've all got, like, flippers and, you know, one eyeball. One eyeball is the most normal of the people down there. And so her parents said she can have a better life up there and will pretend she's an alien or something. So they give her to the people at the orphanage. And she spends all this time looking for them, and she's sad that she doesn't find them. And we see that her parents are hiding from her off the screen, right? Because they don't want her to know, because then she, you know, people don't let those people live up on the surface. And at the end, there's this montage of her throughout her life as she's a little kid growing up. And every time it's like her birthday, she's kind of sad and down in the dumps, and then a little like tentacle slithers out of the drain pipe and drops a present on the ground, and she walks by, oh, look, here's a present. And they're watching her through the drains as she does all this different stuff, and as she becomes the woman that she is and she grows up. And it's this beautiful way of looking at these parents who loved her and did this amazing thing for her invisibly, right? They worked behind the scenes her whole life to try to make things better for her, to give her a life that she couldn't have, that they couldn't have, right? Now, I'm well aware this happens in real life all the time, right? That's what parents do, right? That they try to make a better life for their children than they had. And we see this in people immigrating from other countries. We see this in people working really hard at a job that maybe they didn't really want to do so that their kids could have a better opportunity, right? We see this all the time. But I use this example, one, because I like the show, and two, because it's an invisible way of doing it, right? She has no idea that they're there. And I want you to think about the Holy Spirit like that. The Holy Spirit moving in and around and through us every day, seeing what we do, being there. Now, if the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of creation, right? Rejoicing along with God at the amazingness of the mountains and the seas and the creatures and the humanity, then the Holy Spirit was around when you took those first breaths. The Holy Spirit was watching along with your parents in joy as you took your first steps. The Holy Spirit came and was in you as you were baptized. The Holy Spirit has rejoiced when you make the right decisions, when you choose to follow Christ. The Holy Spirit mourns when we make the wrong decisions, right? But is with us each and every day, but we never see it, right? If we're lucky, we catch a feeling, right? We might be like John Wesley and be super British, and we might feel our hearts strangely warmed. Or maybe you get the warm fuzzies, or maybe you feel a smack upside the head that says, no, go do that instead. Right? Maybe we call it the Jiminy Cricket voice in our head, whatever it is, but we feel the Holy Spirit sometimes. But that's not the only time that the Spirit is around, right? The Spirit is like wisdom. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portal she cries out. We spent, almost a whole day on the road, back and forth, okay? So one day about 8 to 9, 10 hours, and the next, another day about that same. So almost 20 hours or something on the road. And one thing I noticed is there's a lot of stuff yelling at you from the side of the road, right? Right now, it used to be south of the border was all over the roads. Now I think Buc-ee's has bought up all their signs. So now it's all Buc-ee's. Come to Buc-ee's and get some, come to our really fancy bathrooms. Come to Buc-ee's and get some brisket. Come to, but you cannot drive I-95 without knowing exactly how far. My wife and I kept making jokes, but I just wish we knew where the Buc-ee's was, you know? Like, if only they would tell us how many miles it was till the next Buc-ee's. If they would just say what they could do there, you know? But there were thousands of these signs. And yet, I guarantee you, there were people on the interstate with us who drove right past and said, oh man, we missed the Buc-ee's. And yet, there were literally 300 signs on the road. I think of the Holy Spirit in that same way, giving us signs, wisdom. Hey, this is the wise thing to do. Do this. Follow Christ. Go here. Do that. And I know that oftentimes I miss the blinking neon sign telling me, hey, there's an exit ahead. You can get off of this at any time you want. But I miss it. And I wonder how frustrating that is for the Holy Spirit, right? How frustrating it is for Christ or for God to see us time and time again be our own worst enemies. And we all do it, right? Some of us do it more often than others, but we all make mistakes, and sometimes we all make the wrong, we take the wrong exit, or we're like those people who see the exit and there's like 10 feet before the exit and we go across 5 lanes of traffic trying to get off. Sometimes we're those people in our lives. And the Holy Spirit watches us and loves us and rejoices in us. When we make the right decisions, the Holy Spirit is proud. And when we make mistakes, the Holy Spirit might be disappointed, but still loves us. I love this image from Proverbs. Proverbs is a weird book, right? If you've ever tried to read through it, I think somebody asked me early on while I was here, hey, don't these parts in Proverbs contradict each other? And the answer is yes, because a whole bunch of people put stuff into Proverbs. So it's not just like one person sat down and wrote it all down. It was this guy says this, and this lady says that, and this person says this, and they just stuck it all together. But there's little beautiful gems in the midst of Proverbs, like this description of wisdom. How often do we choose the wisdom of the world over the wisdom of Christ? How often do we choose to be rich in the worldly stuff? Whether that's money, whether that's division, whether that's anger, whether that's sex or drugs or rock and roll or whatever it is, we choose all the things of this world over Christ. And yet, wisdom stands at the crossroads and says, this way, this way. If you miss it, I've got another billboard 3 seconds down the road, and it's going to tell you, turn here, turn here. I, for one, am thrilled that we have a Holy Spirit that loves us that much. Holy Spirit that doesn't give up on us, that surrounds us and infuses us and gives us opportunities to love and to serve. And that even when we blow past one of the exits, they give us the directions to turn around, to come back. So today, know this. Know that spirit that was there at creation, that watched as the Leviathans were made, that watched as all the first things took place, rejoices in you when you love, when you bless, and when you serve. So let us live in that joy and in that rejoicing. Amen.